The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Darkcast Network. Welcome to the dark side of podcasting.
Abgenommen, bedauert.
And thank you all for tuning in to the Frequency of the Past, where great stories are waiting to be heard once more. If you enjoy mysteries, detectives, sci-fi, pulp heroes, audiobooks, and more, please check out the archives for hundreds of episodes. Please feel free to reach out through my email, mysteryfrequencypodcast@gmail.com, my social media, mysteryfreak, F-R-E-Q, on Twitter, mysteryfrequency on Instagram. And if you enjoy this podcast, it would be great if you could follow, leave a review, and rate the podcast. That is a great free way to support the show. And a big thank you to all those who already have. Now, with all that, please enjoy the show.
Barry Craig speaking. In these supersonic times, with the great wide world shrinking to the size of a pretzel, crime is global. Chase a hood across New Jersey and you're likely to catch him in Botany Bay, or in Algeria, or Madagascar. In view of all this, the cablegram on my desk one merry morning didn't surprise me a bit. It had been dispatched from mid-ocean. The dateline read, SS Shalimar. The text of it said, arriving Friday, 6 p.m. Please see to arrangements for armored truck at pier for safe transfer of the priceless Barbary tomb relics. You were highly recommended by an official of the Cairo police. Signed, Oscar Melamed. Priceless cargo of anything generally brings out the worst in people, and this one was no exception. Hello?
Mr. Craig?
And this is?
I'm Lisa Barnum. I'd like to discuss something with you. Something extremely important.
Capital letter B?
Capital letter B?
B for the Barbary collection.
Why, you're uncanny.
Yeah. I learned the art of divination from one-note Olio Myers.
One-note Olio Myers?
Yeah, a trombone player in the T-Bone Casino Philharmonic.
Go ahead. Finish your joke.
Olio always knew on Friday he was going to get canned Saturday.
Can we meet and talk as soon as possible?
Well, why not?
I'll come to your place.
No, I'll come to your place.
But I'd much rather...
I prefer women in their natural habitat, Dal. It helps cement a truer understanding. Lisa Barnum lived in a building that had a taxidermist in the downstairs store. While I looked for her doorbell in the row of eight bell pushers, a stuffed chimpanzee came out of the taxidermist to stick a gun in my wrist.
Looking for somebody?
Yes, I am.
Lisa Barnum. You're calling on her?
I confess.
Then you're with me from now on.
Your gun says.
My gun says. You see that green and gold job over there?
Sassy.
Well, take a spin in it. You and me.
Vertically?
Oh, you mean sitting up.
You got quite a grasp of the English.
No. You won't be sitting up.
I won't?
You'll be laying down. Turn to a side a little, huh?
This much?
Yeah. I like hitting them on the side of the ear.
Every man to his taste.
No yelling now when you get it.
Try to be a gentleman about it.
We don't want to be scaring people.
From March 2nd, 1955, you're listening to Confidential Investigator. We'll return to Barry Craig in just a moment. Barry Craig and the Barbary Collection.
Came to with my left ear as big as Dumbo the elephant. I tried stretching my legs to see how the old blood was circulating. And I knocked over what sounded like a garbage can. I reached a hand out in the pitch dark to get the feel of my surroundings. Almost strangled a cat. I tried getting my bearings by scent. My lungs began to choke up from what smelled like a poison gas barrage. I ain't saying the obvious, but where am I?
In a cellar.
And where are you in this blackout?
Over here, sitting on a box.
Why?
Why not?
Now, that stumps me. Say, where's that mustard gas blowing from?
You really disapprove of my cologne.
When I get it in lethal doses.
How do you feel?
Mainly perplexed.
Perplexed? The answers are simple, really.
They always are when you know them. So inform me.
Yes?
You know a better location?
Mertz's drugstore, just down the block. You'll want penicillin ointment on that ear before it infects. Yeah, I'll help you up.
I've always relied on the kindness of women, Lisa. You no doubt are Lisa Bonham.
Yes, I am Lisa Bonham.
In Mertz's, I got one ear swabbed and taped while Lisa bent my other ear.
I saw you assaulted on that stoop. I was upstairs at the front window.
What's your floor?
Second. I ran down to the street to see you thrown into that man's automobile.
That man being?
Why, I don't know. I hailed a taxi cab and followed you.
Why?
Why? What would you have him do?
Well, yell police, good and loud. If you were really alarmed about me. However, go on with it.
You were carried into that cellar and abandoned there. When it was safe, I...
You joined me?
Yes.
Oh, my heroine.
You are an irritating man.
Time out while I check through my pockets.
Well, is anything missing?
Something is.
Your wallet?
No.
Then,
A cablegram I got this morning.
A cablegram?
Don't play dumb.
All right, I won't. A cablegram telling you where and when Oscar Melamed would arrive.
Oscar Melamed and precious cargo.
The man who assaulted you was after the information.
Obviously, and he's got it. And what are you after, baby?
It's a long story.
Well, try condensing it into a few words.
All right. Our family name was Barbary before it was changed to Barnum.
I get the emphasis.
My uncle, Dexter Barbary, was an Egyptologist. He spent his entire mature life in search of tomb relics.
You make him sound dead.
He vanished without a trace 2 years ago.
Well, where was he then?
In Alexandria, Egypt. My last contact with him was a letter he sent me. I have the letter here if you'd care to read it.
Oh, later. But meanwhile, you brief me on the contents of it.
The letter states that he'd come upon a priceless collection of Byzantine tomb relics. That he was registering them in his name, Barbary, as the Barbary Collection.
And?
And Therese.
And of Uncle Dexter.
Yes.
And you suspect foul play?
I believe he was murdered and that his collection was stolen.
I see. Are you the last known living Barbary?
If Uncle Dexter is dead... Yes, I am.
Finish what's on your mind.
The tomb relics rightfully belong to me.
So, sue for them.
Sue? Should I really be so proper, Mr. Craig? Only sue the man who caused my uncle's murder?
The accused being my current client.
Oscar Melamed.
Well, now answer me this. How did you know the Barbary Collection was on board the SS Shalimar en route to here?
I don't care to disclose my sources of information.
Then you can never be my client.
Why can't I be?
secretive clients worry me. I always imagine they're taking my head size.
Taking your head size?
So the dunce cap will fit nice and snug. Friday, 6 p.m., found me on the pier where the SS Shalimar had docked as ordered. And also as ordered, I had an armored truck hired and standing by for the safe and orderly transport of the Barbary collection. A guy in a red oriental fez who had introduced himself as Oscar Melamed stood with me, watching two giant-sized crates being loaded on the armored truck.
I am grateful for your very conscientious services, Mr. Craig.
Repeat that to yourself when you get my bill. Now, when the collection's all loaded, where does it go?
I have given your driver written instructions.
Don't call him my driver. I got the armored car service out of a telephone directory. I make no guarantees.
The collection is to be stored in a vault. I have already made the arrangements.
What's it all worth, Melamed, in round figures?
$200,000-$300,000.
Well, that explains the buzzes buzzing around.
Every thief in the world has plans to steal the Barbary collection.
Well, we've got at least one native hood around, eager to liven up the competition.
One?
Mm-hmm.
There will be 20, Mr. Craig. You will see.
Well, the junk's loaded and bolted in, Melamed. You want me to ride on the truck?
No.
Be a lot smarter if I did.
The driver has his instructions. Let him go. We will remain here.
Well, you're sure casual with 300 G's, Melamed.
I do not want to injure Mr. Craig. That is why you remain here with me.
Just what's that supposed to mean? Ah, that sounds like there's something up your sleeve. Some nice hunk of oriental cunning.
Where is your police headquarters, Mr. Craig?
Raymond and Sixth. Why?
Let us go there together and await the report of the daring theft.
Theft of the Barbary collection?
Yes. The theft of the Barbary collection.
At police headquarters on Raymond and Sixth, we haunted the teletype machine. Completing our trio was a sallow-cheeked sergeant named Joe Tuesday, who looked as if crime gave him an acid stomach.
I've had dizzy characters popping into headquarters before.
Hey, look it.
Look it?
What's the ticker tape is saying?
Huh? Oh. Armored truck seized by gang in machine gun raid at corners of Beaver and Howard. Driver and guard kidnapped. Order statewide alert.
Well, you're a camp prognosticator, Melamed. With the hijacked armored car problem in the laps of the Metropolitan Police, Melamed and yours truly went for a spin in my jalopy. The joyride was his idea.
Pier 17, Hoboken. You choose the proper approach, Mr. Craig. But first, you have an important thing to attend to.
Like?
Like the automobile behind us. See? In your mirror?
Yeah. We're being trailed, all right. An old New York custom. Familiar job, the one behind us. Green and gold convertible.
You have seen it before?
I'm getting a nostalgic twinge in my ear. It's a bum one. Well, shall we tangle with them or lose them?
Lose them, of course.
Fasten your safety belt. Before the green and gold job behind us gave up a hopeless chase, they sent out a signal of defeat.
They are shooting at us.
We're out of range, Melamed. And get your fingers out of my knee.
But I'm not.
Who is it? Now wave a last fond goodbye to the boys. Last on Pier 17, Hoboken, Banana Boat was whistling hello to the USA.
The Susie Q.
Well, why should a banana freighter give you that radiant glow of happy health, Melamed?
Can't you guess, Mr. Craig?
Yeah, I can at that. Sitting amidst mountains of bananas aboard the Susie Q is a big piece of ancient Egypt.
A Barbary collection.
Dummy crates aboard the SS Shalimar. The real McCoy aboard the Susie Q.
A necessary substitute. I'm sorry to have used you as a...
Decoy is the word. It's okay with me, so long as justice triumphs. But is justice triumphing, Melamed?
I do not understand your question.
I've got a suspicious nature.
But you trust your own judgment.
Yeah, I do that. And no offense intended, mind you, but you personally don't come off too good in my judgment.
You have doubts about my integrity?
Fine that I am, yes.
The ways of the East are perhaps strange to the West.
$300,000 spells bonanza even in the Hindustani tongue.
But I am the owner of the Barbary collection.
I've heard other points of view on that.
Other points of view?
Yeah. A doll named Lisa Barnum. Lisa Barnum Barbary. Niece of Dexter Barbary.
Oh, I see. Now I understand the reason for your suspicion.
It's only one of my reasons.
Dexter Barbary was a guest in my country, an eccentric expatriate.
What do you mean, eccentric?
A better word would be fool. An amateur Egyptologist and an uninformed one. The man was a vagrant, a mere professional beggar.
But he registered a collection as the Barbary collection. The one now aboard the Susie Q there.
A fraudulent registration, Mr. Craig. Barbary was in my employ as a gardener and chauffeur. He registered possessions belonging to me, Oscar Melamed. I have affidavits.
That's your story. Where is Barbary now?
I can only repeat rumors.
Like?
His death was reported. He had contracted the disease in the Kilimanjaro Ranges.
Kilimanjaro? What was Barbary doing in Hemingway's private ballpark?
Looking for fossil specimens. Now, if you will tell me, what is your fee?
Paying me off here and now, huh?
Yes, Mr. Craig. You have been useful, but now you are useless. How much?
Peel off a grand, Sahib, in New York coin. I took the grand and copped off, but I didn't go too far for my ex-client. I was on his tail, automotively speaking, all the way from the Susie Q to a warehouse in Newark, where the Barbary collection was unloaded and stored. I made careful notes of the address. In my office the next morning, business began to boom. The chimpanzee who loved toying with my left ear. He had a gun in each hand. Hey, there's only one of me, Buster.
I carry two guns to balance the weight. I don't want one shoulder down lower than the other.
Oh, I see.
Remind yourself of something, Craig.
Meaning?
Where you went with Egypt when you shook my car yesterday.
Oh, Pier 17, Hoboken.
And then to where?
I don't know. I got paid off and canned at the pier.
Baloney.
Slice it, please.
A smart guy like you
would know where $300,000 worth of loot is stored.
Yeah, would know.
Mind if I pry into your character a little?
What befuddles you about me?
How a creep straight out of a Manhattan sewer got himself in the middle of a Cairo-Egypt conspiracy.
I got a friend on the land in Egypt. Maxim Odessa, three-time loser, so he can't never come home. He sent me a letter.
About the collection?
Yeah, about.
Then you're freelancing.
I got a few pool players in with me.
On your way out, surrender your guns to Sergeant Joe Tuesday.
Joe Tuesday? Where is he?
In the lobby, running the elevator, on the back stairs, and on the roof. You know what an octopus Joe Tuesday is.
You've got cups, thank God, huh?
For your exclusive benefit, Buster, I'm a guy who takes pride in his ears.
So I had
sticks and stones.
I'll blast my way out.
You'll make an unbeautiful corpse. Exit smiling, Buster.
Imagine me walking into a cop stakeout. Me punch you.
You're beginning to bore me. Skidoo now. After Ponjo, the 10th Avenue Arab, came Lisa. In top form, throwing curves at me.
I thought over what you said.
And?
I decided to take your advice.
And?
I engaged an attorney. The firm of Brendel, Kirtle, and Damhauser.
You're suing Oscar Melamed.
For the Barbary collection. We've already served papers.
A summons and complaint.
And a restraining order. Melamed is not to take the collection out of the country without consent of the court.
What adjudication are you after?
Sale of the collection and the proceeds of it to me.
$300,000, huh?
Approximately.
Lots of mink and banana royal. What about the alleged murder of your dear Uncle Dexter?
There isn't much I can do about a murder done in Egypt or elsewhere.
Yes, there would be the jurisdictional problem. Now, you want to inspire trust and confidence in me?
Yes, so very much, Barry.
I wondered when you'd begin to coo Barry at me.
You wondered?
Yeah. A doll finds her lie is showing. She brings sex appeal into the breach. It's not as old as sin, baby. It's older.
What do I have to do to prove my utter good faith?
Prove you really had an amateur Egyptologist uncle named Dexter Barbary.
Prove? You don't think I made him up?
Didn't you?
Why, if this isn't... Mr. Craig, do you often have whams on your head?
Only when my feet ache. Let's talk about the morning's news, huh? The Barbary collection's on every front page.
So it is. So what?
Oh, $1 million news break, figuring the space and pictures. And here, a feature interview with Oscar Melamed. How his oriental ingenuity baffled every raffle from Tibet to Hoboken, New Jersey.
But it all does qualify as big news. Or does it mean something else to your warped mind?
It does, doll. But I won't tell you. Not until I tell it to Oscar Melamed first. Now, try sitting on my lap. I'll toss you out of the window.
Well, you're nothing but a stick of wood.
Oh, I'll just bet you tell that to all the boys. Melamed had company when I found him. Company just about to leave. Distinguished, middle-aged, Black Homburg. The type American tycoon with nervous money and a collector's itch. I caught their parting words.
Then our humans agreed, Mr. Melamed. We are in complete harmony, Mr. Cartwright.
You drive a hard bargain, but I can afford it. Good day.
Good day, Mr. Cartwright.
Tell me, which Cartwright is it? The banker or the steel man?
Mr. Cartwright is an oil.
Marinated in your special brand of oil.
Why have you come here?
Putting it bluntly, to stymie a bunco game.
A bunco game? What absurdity.
The trash you're trying to palm off as treasure.
You call the Barbary collection trash?
I do. And all the hijinks and publicity around it is only a build-up for susceptible suckers. What you're really selling him is a collection of newspaper headlines. The publicity has him so dazzled he won't remember to inspect the merchandise. Oh, I see you stopped laughing. Okay, if I bore you with the details of your fraud...
I'm listening.
Thanks. Lisa Barnum's in with you. A full partner in the swindle. A phony uncle routine, and now the lawsuit against you is just more stage dressing. Like that armored car and the two fighters. All more bait for suckers.
And the gangsters? Are they also full partners with me?
No. The mob was on its own. Flies around honey, or what they thought was honey. But all crisp to your scheme. The shenanigans of the mob got you more juicy headlines. Helped make trash really look like treasure. Now, you going to take a rest gracefully? Or are you the type who blows his face?
Despite these circumstances, Mr. Craig, I am forced to admire you.
Well, thanks for saying. It's what I live for. The goodwill and admiration of my clients. After all, man doesn't work for bread alone.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello? Craig speaking. I wanted to read you my leave for tomorrow's column. But... Oh, at the door. Hold the line, Barry, while I see who it is.
Don't answer that, Mike. Stay away from the door. Stay away from the door.
Oh. You, look, I told you it's no use coming here. You're just wasting your time. My life's too short.
By transcription, Barry Craig, confidential investigator, starring William Gargan.
Barry Craig speaking. It was one of those nights. I was sitting in my office with my feet hooked on the corner of my desk, trying to whip up some enthusiasm over an assignment to bodyguard a couple of tin coffee pots at the Long Island wedding when the telephone rang. I let it ring a few times before I reached out and snagged it off its hook. After all, when they're that anxious, they can be mighty worthwhile. Yeah, who's this?
Al White from the Chronicle. Remember me?
Oh, Al White, sure. How's the gossip column racket these days?
Warming up. I got a chore for you.
I'll bet you have.
Meaning what?
I've been reading that column of yours. Those cracks you've been making about Larry Slade throwing the big fight, they can't have made him very happy. I hear he's looking for you.
Yeah, so do I. I need a bodyguard.
You keep printing that Slade took a dive and you're more likely to need an undertaker.
I was right about it, wasn't I? I even called around.
Sometimes there's something better to be than right.
Such as?
Alive. Something you're not likely to be if you keep needling Slade. He's big and sensitive.
My heart bleeds for him. Look, do you want this job or not?
All right, Al. Where do I start guarding the body?
The Casa Daily Bar. Midnight.
It wasn't the kind of case I'd like, but a private detective is like a doctor or a lawyer. He can't always pick and choose. Anyway, a few minutes short of midnight, I parked the car outside the Casa Daily. It was an old white frame building that Ace Daily had converted into a plush boob trap. One of those joints where if they don't get your roll with the fancy prices at the bar, they got back rooms all rigged up with roulette wheels and crap tables where they do. I was holding down the bar with an elbow, squinting through the fog of blue-gray smoke when my client, Al White, walked in.
Waiting long?
Not very.
Seen Ace Daly?
Yeah, he went in the game room a little while ago.
Larry Slade with him?
Champ? No, why?
Just a hunch. He'll be here, too, before the night's over. Daly's in the game room now, huh?
Why the interest in Ace Daly? I thought you were after Slade time.
Maybe I'm after both of them.
You think Ace had a hand in fixing that fight?
Yeah, and tonight I'm looking for proof. Any objection?
Sure skin, if you like to wear it with holes in it.
That's what I'm paying you to prevent.
Maybe we better make this one cash in advance.
That you trust me?
Oh, sure. I just don't want to have to go to the trouble of suing your estate to get my money.
Oh, very funny.
Hey, wait a minute. You must read tea leaves.
Huh?
Don't look now, but your old friend, the ex-champ, just came in.
Is he heading this way?
No, he's going on through into the gaming world.
Good.
What's good about it?
I had a tip Slade would be showing up for the payoff tonight. It settled him. He dumped the fight and Daly paid him to do it.
You still haven't got any proof of a payoff.
With a little luck, we might even get that.
What are you going to do, follow Slade in?
Not yet. Give him a minute or two head start. He won't go direct to Daly's office. He'll probably waste a couple of minutes looking around in the gaming room just to make sure he isn't being followed. Now, if we time it right, we may catch him in the act. And if we do, I'll have the biggest story of the year.
I only hope you live to write it.
I'll write it. Don't you worry about me.
All right, then. I'll worry about me. I only hope that I live to read it. Stayed at the bar, finished our drink, and listened while a tinny five-piece combo did unmentionable things to a popular ballad. Then Al White dropped a handful of silver on the bar and nodded he was ready. I led the way out of the bar to the disguised entrance of the roulette room. The door was presided over by a tuxedoed man with a broken nose. We stepped into a small vestibule, waited while he closed the door behind us. Then another door opened and we stepped into the game room. A low buzz of conversation, spiced with the click of roulette balls, rolled out toward us. A dozen or more people were huddled around a huge roulette layout in the center. On the far side, a hot crap game was in session. Either ace or slade was in sight, so we ambled past the bank of slot machines toward a door marked private. From behind it, we could hear the sound of someone laughing.
Ready? All right, let's go.
And may your marriage be as happy as you are beautiful, my dear.
Hold it, Judge. We got company. Something just crawled out of the woodwork. Something was wrong. Instead of a payoff, it looked like a party. Lifting a champagne glass with Ace Daly and Slade was the most gorgeous redhead I'd ever seen. And a tall, distinguished white-haired man was just proposing a toast. It wasn't what we'd figured to find. But Al White didn't let that stop him. He walked right in like the life of the party. Or maybe the death of it.
Hello, Larry. Evening, folks.
I've been looking for you, White. I'm going to knock
you... Easy, chap, easy. My client doesn't like to be crowded.
Make it easy on yourself and you keep out of this.
Cut it out, chap.
He's got it coming. I'm going
to...
Okay. Okay, Ace.
You, White. On your way.
Daly, you could lose a lot of customers talking to them that way.
I didn't send for you. Get out.
Ace. Who is this man?
Yeah, Ace. Why don't you introduce us? I'm Al White, Mr. Dare. I write a column for the Chronicle.
How do you know my name?
Recognizing faces is part of my business. And how are you, Judge Adair? I thought you and Ace Daly were old political enemies. How nice to see that you've gotten together.
I think perhaps you'd better excuse us, Ace. Louise and
I... Sit down, Judge. I'll take care of White. He's just about to leave.
Don't mind if I do, now. You see, I came here looking for a story in the fight fix the other night. Oh, it's small potatoes compared to a political fix.
What does he mean, Ace?
You and Ace, the happy couple.
Well, really...
And maybe if Ace helps the judge to get reelected, he can claim the bride as his reward. What a story.
Ace, he mustn't print that. Not before election. He'd ruin everything.
Don't worry, why, Judge. He's not printing anything.
That's where you're wrong. I'm not only printing it, but I'm going to do a feature piece on it.
Don't push your luck too far. You're still healthy because nothing will happen to you in my place. Providing you're out of it in 5 minutes.
Just let me take him, Mace. Let me take him.
Without a rehearsal, champ. I thought you always rehearsed your fight.
Well, you little rat, I'll kill you if it's the last thing I...
Look, champ. I don't have my hand in my pocket because it's cold. I told you the guy's my client.
Sit down, champ. That's for you, Craig. Put up the heater.
Ace, you've got to stop him. He mustn't print that. It would ruin us, all of us.
Don't worry, Louise. If he so much as hints at it in that rag of his, I'll not only be on the line of people who want to kill him, I'll be at the head of it.
As we weren't in any position to cop any popularity prizes at the moment, there didn't seem to be much point in hanging around the Casa Daly. We got out with about 2 minutes left of the head start Ace had given us. White insisted that I drop him off at the combination office and apartment where he worked. So I locked him in for the night, then headed for my own apartment and some long-delayed shut-eye. I didn't need anybody to rock me to sleep, as I was practically snoring by the time my head hit the pillow. So when the phone started to dance off its stand a couple of hours later, it took me a few minutes to locate it. Oh, stand still, will you? Yeah?
Now, White.
What time is it?
Oh, about 4:30.
Oh, it's the middle of the night.
Not for me. Either my office hours. Just finishing up tomorrow's column. I want to read you an item.
I've been waiting until tomorrow to read it. Hey, what's that?
Oh, the doorbell. Who is it? Hold the line a minute.
White, don't answer that. White, stay away from that. White! White! Without stopping to think twice, I knew that whoever was paying that late call to Al White carried a peculiar calling card engraved in lead. I started dressing, made par for the course, and was headed for a cab in less than 6 minutes. A police cruiser outside of Al White's apartment house told me somebody else had heard the shots. When I finally got to his door, it was opened by Sergeant Marty Moran of Homicide.
Well, I might have known. What are you doing here?
White was my client.
Wise?
Don't let's get cute, Marty. I was talking to him on the phone when he got it.
Oh, that accounts for the phone being off the hook.
Do I get in?
I suppose so. What were you talking about when it happened?
He wanted to read me an item out of tomorrow's column.
Column? He didn't find any column, just a few blank sheets and a typewriter. No column. Well, there he is. We haven't moved him yet. Yemi hasn't gotten here.
Got it in the back, huh?
All five of them.
Hmm. Small caliber gun. 32 or less, I'd say.
Big enough to do the job.
Yeah. And you said there was no trace of a column.
No, just a few blank sheets of paper and his typewriter.
All right to handle?
Yeah, I guess so. Barry, what's on your mind?
Just a hunch. I'm wondering if Al White had the same habit most newspaper boys have of jamming two or three sheets into their machine at a time.
Gee, you got something there. If he did, we may be able to bring out the impression on the second sheet.
Well, that's worth a try.
There should be some dusting powder in the lab kit. Yeah, here's some. Let's have that second sheet.
Here you are.
Think that's enough dusting powder on it? A little more, maybe. Shake it around. Well, what do you know? It worked.
Can you read it, Sergeant?
I think so. First, let's blow off the excess. Yep, there you are. Clear as a carbon copy.
Take your vows later. Uh-oh. Here it is. Listen. The mob is giggling over Ace Daly's payoff if the election goes right. Now, instead of fixing fights for sugar, the ace is fixing elections for honey.
Ace Daly in this?
Yeah. He told White that if that item appeared, he'd kill him.
Well, why didn't you say so? That makes it easy. We put out a pickup on Ace, and we got it made.
Better pick up Larry Slade, too, Marty.
The champ?
Yeah, he got into the act, too. He promised to kill White if he mentioned fixed fights again in his column.
Oh, fine. First I have no suspects, now I've got more than I have teeth of my own. How many other characters promised to make this creep a prospect for a headstone?
Offhand, I don't recall, but as I think of them, I'll keep you informed, Marty. I got away from Sergeant Moran as soon as I could. He was yelling pickup orders into the phone as I closed the door behind me. On the street, I grabbed a cab, told the cabbie to double back up a couple of streets to make sure there was no police trail on me, then gave the driver the address of the Adair home. It was an old converted brownstone house with a large brass knocker. Through the glass door, I saw the commoded figure of Louise Adair. Over her shoulder on the stairway, I could see her father, his white hair shining in the gloom.
What? What do you want?
I'd like to see you for a few minutes, Miss Adair.
Now? What about?
Murder.
Murder?
Yes, Al White, the columnist, a few hours ago.
I see. Perhaps you'd better come in.
What is it, Louise?
You go on to bed, Dad. This gentleman wants to ask me a few questions.
Maybe your father ought to sit in on this.
Leave my father out of it.
Nonsense, Louise. Now, what's this all about?
Al White, the columnist you met last night at Ace Daly's, is dead. Murdered.
And this gentleman, being a detective, has it figured out that Ace did it?
I didn't say that, Miss Adair. I said he had a motive. So did a lot of other people. You, for instance, or your father.
Ah.
Why not? If White printed that story about you and Ace, it might have cost your father the election. And it certainly wouldn't help your social standing.
Why, that's absurd. Ace and I were merely waiting for the proper time to announce our engagement.
After the election, I suppose, when it wouldn't be so embarrassing.
I can't have you making insinuations like that. I must ask you to leave.
Suit yourself, Judge. I was just trying to make it easy on you. White was my client.
And he's dead now.
Maybe so. But when a guy hires me to see that nothing happens to him, and something does, I want the guy that made it happen.
But don't you see, we'll get dragged into it. The scandal will ruin Dad's chances of re-election.
That's unfair, Louise. How can we help?
Well, you can give me a fill-in on the time set up last night. What time did you leave the Casa Daly?
About 4. We came home and went right to bed.
4, huh? That would give Ace plenty of time to do the job. Was the champ there when you left?
Mr. Slade? No, he left before we did. His lady friend dances in one of the clubs.
Lily DeVore.
If you can call it dancing.
He saw her last night, huh? That might be his out.
My father and I'd like to get some sleep. If you have any more questions, would you mind if we discussed them later in some more suitable time and place?
All right. Let's say 4 o'clock this afternoon in my office. Meanwhile, I think I'll drop by the Carteret Arms and have a chat with Lily DeVore. Carteret Arms was a big, expensive-looking pile of rocks in the West 50s. By the time I got there, a heavy drizzle had started, and it didn't pep me up any to learn that Millie hadn't gotten home yet. I found a soggy cigarette in my jacket pocket, got it burning, and settled back to wait. The gleaming wet face of a jeweler's clock across the street said 2:10 when a cab skidded to a stop at the curb. Lily DeVore jumped out, ran for the protection of the lobby. I gave her 10 minutes to get settled, then crossed over. It took a two-spot and a lot of fast talk to get by unannounced. The two-spot was more effective than the talk. Anyway, I got up to 4D and knocked.
Yeah?
Message for Miss DeVore.
Coming. Okay, Buster, let's have... Say, what is this?
I want a little talk with you.
Get your foot out of that door.
Nice of you to ask me in.
You mean I had a choice? Look, I don't know what's on your mind, but you don't...
Don't be so modest, Lily. You know you're irresistible.
Yeah, and I know something else, too. You're liable to be unconscious when the champ hears about this.
I make it a policy never to worry unnecessarily.
And I make it a policy never to entertain strange men without a warrant. That goes double for private cops. Outside.
Okay. I just thought I'd help keep your champ out of the hot seat. But if that's the way you feel about it...
Look, you can't pin that killing on Larry Slade. You know he didn't do it.
That's not what the police think. Where is he, Lily?
I don't know. Hey, where do you think you're going?
Oh, just to have a look around.
Get out of here and leave me alone.
What's in there? I thought I heard something. Oh, mice, no doubt.
That's just a closet. Stay away from it. Stay away, I tell you.
As I moved Lily from in front of the closet door, I turned my back for a second. The door swung open behind me. I heard rather than saw the blow that knocked me to my knees. In that moment, the man in the closet made a break for it. He headed across the room for the bedroom door beyond. I was a little groggy, but I managed to follow him. By the time I got to the bedroom, I heard him go through the window to the fire escape beyond. I followed, stuck my head out. He snapped a shot at me from below. Gouged a chunk of windowsill a foot or so from my head. I pulled back fast. I wasn't that curious. Lily was still in the living room when I walked back. Okay, baby, playtime is over. I lose my boyish smile when people use my skull for target practice. Who was it?
I don't know. A prowler, I guess.
If it was Slade, why did he run? You can alibi him for last night, can't you?
What? Sure.
Or can you?
Of course I can. We were together all morning.
He left Daly's before 4. When did he get to your place?
About 4. We left the club together and then we...
You're lying, Lily, aren't you?
No!
If you are, I can check up at the club. You might as well admit it now.
Oh, all right. The director called a rehearsal on next week's show. Slade got bored and walked out on it about 4:15. We worked through.
In other words, he had time to knock off White. If he didn't do it, then why was he trying to hide here in your closet?
Slade wasn't in that closet.
Who was?
I don't know.
Who was it, Lily?
Oh, what's the use? Why should I cover for him? It was Ace Daly.
What was he doing here?
Same as you, looking for the champ.
To help him fix an alibi?
Slade doesn't need an alibi. He didn't do anything. Why don't you leave him alone?
Maybe I can help him. Where is he, Lily?
I told you I don't know, and I wouldn't tell you if I did.
That's what I thought. Just the same, if you want to see him get a break, you get to him and tell him to get to me. I didn't have long to wait. I'd just gotten back to the four walls and desk I laughingly call my office, shuffle the two ads and rent bill that represented my mail, and lit a cigarette when the phone rang. Hello?
Larry Slade. I hear you want to see me. What about you?
I don't do business over the phone. Come in and...
Yeah, and walk right into a police stakeout.
Okay, so I'll come to see you. Where?
If it's a plant, you'll never walk away from it.
Where?
The end of Pier 6, East River. Make it 3:30 sharp.
I'll be there.
And come alone. Because if you don't, you'll have plenty of company when you leave. They'll be carrying you.
Pier 6 was a deserted strip that stretched out into the murky water of East River for a quarter of a mile. Anybody walking to the end would be visible for minutes before he reached the end, setting him up as a perfect target. The goose pimples and icicles running down my spine were caused by the cold wind, I think. The rain hadn't let up, and I was drenched by the time I reached the end of the pier. Larry Slade stepped from behind an old rotting shack that had been a watchman's shanty. He looked bigger than a Brahma bull and twice as nasty. Hello, champ.
What do you want?
The one who killed Al White. Cops think maybe you did.
I can read.
I don't think you did.
That's nice, so?
Give yourself up. I don't want you to take the fall for the killer if you didn't do it.
I don't take any falls for nobody.
You're set up for one right now and don't know it.
You're lying.
Why should I? Ace Daly's the only one got anything to gain by lying.
He wouldn't cross me.
Not unless he needed a fall guy, and he does.
Why don't you tell him that? Hey, Ace!
Busy little man, aren't you, Craig? I tried to get around, only this time I didn't get around fast enough. Looks like you beat me to it, Ace.
Looks like I did.
He thinks you're trying to pin the murder on me, Ace.
Now, why would I want to do that, Larry? Why would I want to frame the guy who's giving me my alibi?
Your alibi? He hasn't even got one for himself. Not after he left Lily Duvall last night.
Oh, yes, he has. Larry came back to the Casa Daly. We were both there together at 4:30 this morning. Now, what do you say to that?
You've had time to cook up a nice little story, haven't you? But coming from the two principal suspects, I doubt if the police will take your word for it. You'll have to think of something better than that to prove you were really there.
Don't worry. We can. After he got home, Judge Adair called me up to talk things over.
That's funny. The judge didn't mention it to me. But then maybe you haven't had a chance to give him his briefing yet.
Don't worry, Craig. He'll back us up.
Willie, Ace, aren't you forgetting something?
What?
You can't help him now. When the story of your little deal gets out and the papers tie it in with this murder, your support would be the kiss of death. His only chance of re-election now is to wash his hands of you as fast as he can and try to make hay on the other side.
Now, wait a minute.
Sorry, Ace, but I gotta go see the judge. I'd kind of like to hear what he has to say before he's had any coaching.
Stop him, Slade.
What do you want me to do?
You're the champ. Figure it out for yourself.
Larry Slade grinned, licked his lips. He hunched his left shoulder a bit. And I saw the punch start somewhere near the tip of his shoe, but I couldn't get my jaw out of the way fast enough. It landed like a ton of bricks, and the peer came up and slapped me in the face. I don't know how long I was out. Could have been minutes, probably. It was only seconds. Both Ace and Slade were gone when I opened my eyes. I couldn't find it in my heart to regret their going. All I could do was hope that they were going to the wrong place if they wanted to locate Judge Adair. I managed to get a cab and gave the driver my office address. When I got there, two people were at my door trying the knob. Even in the semi-gloom, I had no difficulty making out the sleek lines of Louise Adair as one. The other was her father. Looking for me?
Oh!
I thought you'd forgotten our 4 o'clock appointment. I've thought of something you should know.
Good. Let's go inside where we can talk. Make yourselves comfortable.
I suppose we really should have told the police, but Dad preferred to talk to you first.
Well, let's have it.
I think I know who killed your client.
I thought you might. Judge Adair, after you and your daughter got home this morning, did you phone the Casa Daly?
How did you know about that?
Then you did make the call.
Why, yes. About 4:30.
Well, there goes the old ball game. I thought that Ace was lying.
But Ace wasn't there. No one answered the phone.
He didn't? Why didn't you tell me that this morning?
Well, Dad didn't want to get involved. It would cost him the election.
Cost a man his life.
I finally realized too late. When Daly tried to reach me today...
I see I got here just in time.
Ace!
No, don't shoot, Daly. I won't tell anything. Don't...
Boy, you dirty double-crossing old buzzard.
He's got a gun, Dad!
When the smoke cleared, Ace Daly was sprawled in my doorway. Louise Adair was doing a good job of trying to swallow her fist. The judge stood dazed, staring down at an old .22 target pistol that he still held in his hand. I managed to pin my eyeballs back in their sockets long enough to walk over to Ace. At that moment, the door to my office burst open and Sergeant Marty Moran came tearing in.
What's going on here? Holy cow, Ace Daly, who did it?
I'm afraid I did, Sergeant.
It was self-defense. Daly was going to kill both of us. Mr.
Judge shot him, all right.
Why should Daly want to kill you, Judge?
He wanted to keep me quiet. I knew that he'd killed Mr. White.
You were taking an awful chance going up against a pro like Daly with that pea shooter.
I couldn't keep quiet and see him get away with murder. Even if it does cost me the election, I couldn't do it.
cost you the election. You kidding? You come out of this mess a hero, delivered a killer all wrapped up. Just too bad Ace Daly didn't kill White.
Didn't kill him?
What do you mean?
Yeah, you better translate that for me, too, Barry.
Daly couldn't have killed White. I was talking to White when the killer knocked. He got up and let him into the apartment.
So?
He wouldn't hire me to hold his hand while he was talking to Daly in a public place, then let him into his apartment.
But Ace could have disguised his voice.
Won't wash, baby. White was shot in the back. That means he opened the door to the killer, then turned to lead the way into the apartment. He never would have turned his back on Daly.
In that case, I have a little surprise for you. Ryan, bring Slade in. We picked up Slade waiting outside in Daly's car.
Ace, who did it?
I'm afraid I did, Mr. Slade. I thought he killed White.
Which leaves us only one logical suspect.
Oh, I get it. I'm supposed to be the fall guy, eh? Why, you two-bit Seamus, I'm going to let you have it.
Right in the whiskers. You KO'd the champ.
I owed him, that's it. Holy cow, so I did. Hey, he didn't throw that fight. He's got a glass jaw.
Well, I'll get him out of here and booked.
He didn't kill White either. He never would have used a gun. He'd get a bigger charge out of beating him to a pulp.
Well, if neither of them did kill White, who...
You did, Judge.
What?
And that wasn't self-defense when you shot Ace Daly in my office. It was murder.
That's fantastic. Why should my father kill either of them?
Because White was getting set to break a story that would have blasted your father's chances. Ace knew your father killed him and covered him for your sake. But your father knew when the heat was on, Daly would throw him to the wolves.
But to go up against Daly with a .22...
Ace was a sitting duck. The judge shot him before he knew he was being double-crossed, using me as a witness that it was self-defense.
Now, see here. This is ridiculous. I was in bed when White was killed.
Sorry, Judge. I went to your house an hour or more after the killing. You were supposed to be in bed, but your hair wasn't even mussed.
I won't listen to these lies. Tell them, Dad. Tell them.
What's the use, Louise? I took a long chance and lost. I killed them.
Well, they can't prove a thing.
Yes, they can, now that they know the story. I left too many traces.
Why did you kill White, Judge?
I had to. My only hope of escaping prosecution for malfeasance was to be re-elected to cover what I had done during my last term. I would have done anything to be re-elected. Even come to blows with a thug like Daly.
Don't talk, Dad. They can't prove a thing.
It's no use, my dear. I'm ready to make a full statement.
Okay, boys, take the judge out. We'll book him later. For murder, I guess. Barry? While we're waiting for the medical examiner, tell me...
Not now, Marty. I've got an important date.
Anybody I know?
Lily DeVore.
You crazy? That's the champ's girl. He's plenty jealous.
Plenty jealous, but I just found out he's got a glass jaw. So long, Marty. So long, folks. See you next week.
You have just heard Barry Craig, confidential investigator, starring William Gargan. Next week, another exciting transcribed story starring America's number one detective, William Gargan, as Barry Craig, confidential investigator. Tonight's script was written by Frank Kane and featured Santos Ortega as Ace Daly. Edward King directed. Your announcer is Don Pardo. All names and places mentioned in this program are fictitious, and any resemblance to actual persons, living or dead, is purely coincidental. Three chimes mean good times on NBC. Till we meet again next Wednesday for another hard-hitting adventure with Barry Craig, confidential investigator, let me give you a brief rundown of the adventure shows you can hear on NBC. Tomorrow night on NBC, there are a trio of action programs starting off with Mr. Keene, Tracer of Lost Persons, as he investigates the rich young widow murder case. Then, Dragnet brings you another authentic criminal case history as taken from the files of the Los Angeles police. Later, Counterspy is called in to solve the case of the Kilroy gang. And then on Saturday, screen actor Brian Donlevy takes you down the shadow-filled corridors of mystery on another dangerous assignment. Later Saturday evening, there's adventure in the realm of international intrigue with Mr. Moto. Then on Sunday, Douglas Fairbanks is featured in The Silent Men with authentic action stories about your government security agents. On Monday, Herbert Marshall comes to the NBC microphone to assume the mysterious identity of the man called X. And then Tuesday night, hear Big Town and another pulse-quickening story as told by editor Steve Wilson of the Illustrated Press. Yes, there's always hard-hitting adventure based on the drama that is Big Town. Well, there you have a complete roundup of the top mystery shows you can hear on NBC. And then, next Wednesday night, we hope you'll be back with us for another adventure with William Gargan as Barry Craig, confidential investigator. Now, it's Meredith Wilson's Music Room.